Hey everybody, it's Eric Balance coming to you with the Resilient Minds podcast, where I feature beautiful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts in their field, where they help us discover their X factor, their experience of life, only to discover how they were able to accomplish and find out their Y factor, their big Y, their purpose in life. So join me as we get to discover the beauty of our minds and how can we really continue to go after the biggest and most wildest dreams while we continue to pursue and manifest our greatest intelligence that comes from the heart. Also, if you haven't, go check out the new alignment course that I've created at www.ericbalance.com/alignment, A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T. See you on the show.
Well, hello, everyone, and welcome back to another amazing show. We're really excited today because we're taking it up a notch to another level where we're really wanting to curate this philosophy, especially about health being the real ultimate wealth. And today we have an amazing guest, Lorena Carroll. Now, there's a lot of fascinating people out there talking about transcendental meditation and Ayurveda, two of things of which I'm extremely excited to discuss. But this amazing lady has been doing it for almost how many, 20, almost two decades?
Well, actually, I've been doing, you know, Ayurveda pretty much like 35 years. I started very young and also practicing transcendental meditation for about 35 years.
And educating in that type of lifestyle among organizations and businesses, and really giving your life force to that modality. So I'm curious, first of all, welcome. Thank you for being here. I'm really grateful to have you. And just share a little bit deeper about, you know, how important transcendental meditation and Ayurveda has been for you, and how you're showing up like that in different organizations right now.
Sure. So thank you for having me. I'm very excited to be here. So I'll kind of just maybe go back to my journey a little bit, and then you could, you know, all how I got into it. So, you know, when I was about 18 or 19, I just started to get into health. I realized, you know, if I started exercising, eating better, not drinking as much alcohol, I would feel much better. So I quickly made that correlation and thought, okay, I have to change my lifestyle. And then when I was 22, I learned transcendental meditation, and it completely changed my life. At that time, I don't think we talked about anxiety or worries or depression or anything like that, but I was a very happy person, but I would worry about nothing, you know, and that like kind of ruined my spirit and also my creativity and focus. And I didn't know how bad it was until I actually got trained. And I was like, whoa, you know, and I kind of joke, you know, I'm from New York, I'm half Italian. I was a tough candidate for transcendental meditation. So if it could work on me, I thought it could work on anyone. And then 10 years later, I became a teacher and I did that training in Switzerland. And so I've trained thousands of people since that time. I've been teaching it about 25 years, and people in business, private families, you know, really everyone, because you can start literally with like a walking technique at age 4, and then at 10, you get the adult technique. And so a lot of times I would start with business people, like you mentioned before, Ray Dalio, who's a strong proponent of TM. But then they want to get their families into it, right? Because they love it. It's good for them. And they want to start their families young. So that's kind of how it just sort of evolved.
So let's get really clear for those that are not aware or understanding. What is transcendental meditation?
Okay. So it's a simple, effortless mental technique. And you do have to be regular with the practice to, you know, get the benefits. And typically it's done 20 minutes in the morning before breakfast or coffee. And then the second one, sometime between noon and 6:30. We don't do it too late at night because it gives energy. And because it dramatically reduces cortisol, your stress hormone, which completely can thwart our creativity and focus and success in life. That's why you want to really be regular with it. And it's a mantra based, but not religious based. So anybody, I've taught, you know, priests, ministers, rabbis, I've taught people that are non-religious. So there's no religious component to it. So there's no belief or philosophy. It's just a technique to manage stress. And it's mantra based, but a quiet technique. So you can do it on a plane, on a train, in an office, if it's, you know, you have a room that's a little bit private. And so it's very portable. And it's basically taking you to what we call the transcendent. So, you know, it gets a little bit detailed, but I think your audience can probably handle it. So, you know, we have waking, sleeping, and dreaming states of consciousness. This is what we go in and out of every day. And with transcendental meditation, you're cultivating a fourth major state of consciousness called transcendental consciousness. And what that's basically doing is, you know, we have this gotta mind, you know, gotta go here, gotta go there. And we stay on the surface of the mind. And as Ray Dalio puts it, when he first started learning TM, he felt like a ninja, that everything starts to come at him in slow motion. And when that happens, the reason why there's more success is because when things are coming at you in slow motion and you're not frazzled, you're just really able to make better decisions because there's extreme clarity of mind that you didn't have before, because you're continually releasing stress. And that stress is foreign to the nervous system, and it doesn't help us be good leaders, be, you know, be good at our jobs or anything that we're doing, because that stress really, you know, 80% of all health issues we know are stress related, mental, physical, emotional, you know, whatever it might be. So you're going to this, rather than just staying on the surface 20 minutes twice a day, you're getting to this quieter level of the mind. We call it the source of thought. And when we come out of that, we're feeling more enlivened, we're feeling more creative and balanced. And, you know, when we talk about, you know, I love your theme and everything about, you know, heart-led and really, you know, compassionate leadership, because, you know, even people that are in leadership roles, they don't realize that the stress causes them to probably lose good people in the company because they don't treat them well and they don't have a good interaction. And what we found is when we brought TM in companies, that people started to get along better. They were more compassionate. They, you know, and if somebody was stressed and they weren't particularly that day, they were able to see, oh, okay, I'm not gonna, you know, push that button today. That, you know, he or she must be going through something, you know, and it naturally makes you more compassionate, leading from the heart and understanding that everybody really is trying their best, but sometimes stress and strain make them behave differently or make a mistake. And, you know, we have to have compassion in that. So that's kind of, you know, what it's really doing.
I always say, you know, like there's so many things, solutions everywhere, you know, to, you know, solve a lot of problems. And mm-hmm. the thing that we're lacking a lot is the leadership. And I think that if more culture inside of organizations and if more of the leadership understood these kind of minutiae but super important things, you know, it's small when you think about it, you know, when we think about it, but it's huge in the bigger picture of things. And I think having the audacity to bring in this type of modalities into organizations, into leadership thought process, into culture, it really can amplify the shared purpose of the mission of the organization. What do you say to this?
No, absolutely. I mean, when you think about the millennials now, right? They're not putting up with what the workplace used to be before. Okay, you know, this 60 to 80 hour work week. I mean, I've trained 20 to 30 year olds that were kind of working. Maybe I live in Chicago, you know, downtown. Maybe, you know, at the Exchange or something, and having a very stressful job. And, you know, one guy had like high blood pressure at age 21. And at 30, one of them had a stroke. I mean, that's unheard of. I mean, 40 hours of work, you know, a week, you know, is still a lot, but it's doable, right? But when you get to 50, 60, 70, even 80 hours a week, I mean, you get burned out, and then you're going to, those people are going to get sick. So I've trained a lot of people in business that actually had to quit because they got sick. And then they had to, you know, kind of repair that, you know, they learned TM. I worked with them through Ayurveda. And I think that, it really would behoove anybody that owns a company. And I am, you know, I do train a lot of people in business. I have a couple of projects coming up where we're training people in business. But if they truly knew, if they took the time to look at the research on TM, showing that the reduction of stress, how that impacts the behavior of the people, because somebody told me that every time somebody leaves the company, whether they're sick or whether you fire them because you don't think that they're working, you know, up to par, it costs the company millions of dollars and you have to retrain somebody. So, you know, they think that the companies and the leaders think, oh, well, I want to get the maximum. So whoever stays here until, you know, 7, 8 o'clock at night, that's my person. I'm going to promote them and retain them. Well, they're not going to make good decisions, that person that you're relying on, because they're exhausted. They're going to be unhappy. This work-life balance is something very real. And I'm not saying you can't be a hard worker. I'm totally a type A and I'm always, you know, wanting to move mountains in a day and get more done. But I take time to rest. I take time to exercise. I take time to walk in nature and reflect. And that makes me better at my job. And if company leaders knew that, I think they would, you know, do this in a heartbeat.
Yes, I agree. And I know it's our duty to educate into this corporate world and really bring this type of regenerative philosophy to the forefront. And I'm excited because, you know, we're really bringing that energy. It's such an intentional way. And for me, you know, like this is how we redefine wealth, how we redefine the conscious wealth, right? The wealth of our source energy that is given so that, you know, the outside world isn't what's dictating us, it's the inside. And so I'm excited to, you know, continue to learn. So I have a question, and I have this, okay. Like, is it possible for anybody that's watching right now or that's listening for you to take maybe me through a process of what it could be for somebody to go through a very simple transcendental meditation? And so that it's almost like something that they can look at or listen to and do it themselves, maybe in the current state.
Well, that's the thing about TM is that it does have to be taught by a trained teacher. So certified teachers, you know, have a 6-month in residence training to be certified. And there's a lot more that goes into it. And I'm sure if you and others have done apps and, you know, Insight Timer and different things, it is more of like, you know, shallow type of meditations. This is very profound and very deep. Therefore, there's an investment in time and money to actually learn it. So the first day is your private one-on-one session with your teacher. You get, you know, about 90 minutes and you're going to learn how to meditate. And then you'll meditate a few minutes, then you know, see how it's going, meditate a few minutes more, then we put you into your own meditation, and then you start meditating twice a day on your own. And now we have these Zoom sessions for the follow-up to make it easier, plus some videos by app. But I'm actually in person with my clients after I do the one-on-one in person. I'm live on Zoom like we are now doing the 3 follow-up sessions. And then you get lifetime follow-up. So it's a lot of personalized individual attention, because if you're doing something with a tape, or even if I can't do anything on this Zoom because it's private knowledge, and every, you know, somebody might get a different mantra or whatever, and it's very specialized. So I can't really do that. I mean, I can do like a breathing exercise or something else with you if you'd like, but I really encourage anybody, and I'm, you know, happy to come where you are and train you. Are you in Canada?
I'm in Canada, yes.
Yeah, that's what my family's, you know, from Newfoundland. So, but anyway, you know, that's what I do, is I go, you know, to companies, I go to, you know, families, and I have offices in Chicago, and I train people, and I have, you know, schedule where I train them. And then people are very deliberate where they know, okay, if you're going to start this, you know, it really doesn't make sense unless you're going to commit to the twice a day. And then in the first few days, it is so dramatic. People are sleeping better, reduction of anxiety, helping with depression, helping with blood pressure, high cholesterol, all these things, right? And then they, you know, if they want, they can do other Ayurveda, which we can get into as well, other Ayurveda remedies and tools to have in the toolbox for, you know, promoting good health. But that's really the first place to start, because TM literally rewires the brain. It's a completely different form of meditation. It's increasing alpha coherence in the brain, which I think you'll find interesting. So there's no other form of meditation, and we can verify this scientifically, that increases this alpha, which is a calm, reflective brain. And you know, there's beta and gamma, which are easily activated through maybe other meditations and TM as well. And that's a good thing. But if you don't increase alpha, this is your CEO, your prefrontal cortex. And as I was mentioning before about that dramatic reduction in cortisol, people are in the fight or flight a lot of the time. And then there's no creativity and there's, you know, no focus and like that. So when they do this technique, you know, they're rewiring the brain. And so normally under stress and fatigue, there's not high alpha coherence. And that's very important because that's the zone. That's the flow. The psychologists call it the flow. Athletes and business people call it the zone. Like they'll come out of a meeting like, oh my gosh, I was on my game today. You know, they're patting themselves on the back and they wish, can I get that every day? And you can when you practice TM. But that rewiring of the brain and coordinating the left and right hemispheres is crucial to good thinking and clarity. So it's a long answer to your question, but it does have to be taught, you know, in 4 days. And I'd be happy to teach you and any of your staff there as an excuse to come to Canada. So,
yes, and I think that this is the important part, is that everybody has access to it. Everybody can access and really cultivate this creativity. I know for myself, you know, I used to think that I don't have any creativity. I used to think that there's, you know, I'm very limited. I have to go work hard with my body in the world to make a living and things like that. A lot of limitations that I learned from the outside world. And it was when I started to identify with myself and really start to trust in myself that I started to tap into, you know, a really unique mechanism within, you know. And I always say it's like, follow your heart and let your mind amplify it, you know. And if we can really bring this, like you say, this coherence together, we can really achieve anything we want. We can really cultivate anything we want, and we can help others do the same, because we're so such abundant beings. And by offering that type of knowledge and uniqueness to ourselves, we can then amplify it in terms of everywhere around us.
Absolutely. Maharishi had a great quote, do less and accomplish more. And he has, as we speak, leaders of every country in the world working on even helping people get out of poverty. And so, for example, in Colombia, we have Father Miha, a Roman Catholic priest who loves transcendental meditation. And Colombia had the most, children that were on the streets, you know, because their parents were maybe incarcerated or whatever. So he pulled them off the streets, got wealthy philanthropists that would come together and fund housing for these people, that the kids learn transcendental meditation. And it was always Maharishi's idea that if you rewire the brain, even someone that came from trauma or really just unfortunate circumstances could lift themselves out more quickly of that trauma state and know their true self, their higher self, he would call it. And that's what that, you know, the zone, like the alpha coherence that expand, we're expanding the mind, because, you know, we do have that negative rhetoric as we grow up and in stress and everything that, oh, that's, you know, we're all on that, like you say, I'm not, you know, I'm not creative, I'm not this, but you actually unfold your full potential. And even people that are already successful, they can actually thrive as well, because then they notice newer levels and greater levels of themselves that they didn't know, because it was clouded by stress and strain. So it's really, and intuition really grows with TM. When people talk about my gut feeling, like I just, more and more as I'm meditating, I get my, you know, my gut feeling like that, my energy wants to go there. And then, no, that doesn't feel good. And you just, and when you can go more quickly into that, yes, no, rather than you know, just being paralyzed by stress. You're afraid to make a decision because you're afraid that it's going to be wrong. And then you don't progress, right? So if you just have that awareness of like, oh, yes, I, you know, that yes, no, you know, yes, no, maybe. And if it's maybe, you put it on the pile. But, you know, where we can just really be our unfold our full potential, not have the fear of moving ahead and expanding and growing financially, mentally, emotionally like that.
I love it. It's I feel like I'm in a meditation right now as you're speaking.
That's great.
Do you think that there is some of us that are meditating as they're actually walking the earth?
So that's a great question, because we've done a lot of EEG studies where you put these like 32 electrodes on the scalp, and alpha coherence is not you know, just an unknown thing, but it's because of stress and strain, not many people have high levels. So Dr. Travis wrote a wonderful book, and Dr. Harung, they traveled the world, they did EEGs of many, many different people of all backgrounds and their brain researchers. And what they found is that, you know, if you just grab somebody off the street, they have 35% brainwave coherence. They might be very well educated. They might even have a high IQ. But due to stress and strain, they're kind of limiting, you know, they may be doing okay, but they're limiting. Then you have 1 to 5% of the population that have higher that alpha coherence. And I that's kind of like a little bit more meditative state in a way, because that means that they're very settled within themselves. The more alpha you have, the more settled you are within yourselves. And we've met people like that without meditation, right? And you just like, or, you know, maybe it's a religious person or even just a spiritual person or even non-religious or spiritual, but they just have something that were just a calm, and it feels meditative. You know, they feel fluid. They feel just in that zone. And it's usually a lovely feeling. They are very kind people, you know, most of the time, patient. They have that awareness without having to meditate. They're just naturally not angry. They're naturally leading from the heart. They're naturally compassionate. And so, yes, there are people that would have more of that meditative, enlightened, you know, so to speak, state. But when these, you know, brain researchers had the next level, they found, so, you know, you have 35% of people here, you know, meditating or not meditating and low brainwave coherence. Then you've got, you know, your top athletes, top business people that are just really, you know, on their game, top of their game. And then you have the third level here. These are long-term meditators. They're twice as much as the 1 to 5% in that alpha range. Now, you know, it doesn't mean you're going to be good at business or athletics or music or anything, but what it means is that whatever you're good at, it's going to help you to be, and, you know, meditative state, you know, means different things to different people, but I think it does mean being in that flow and intuition and being kind and happy. So the reason why Maharishi brought this out is lack no suffering. Now, Maharishi, you know, you might have known, he was the one that taught the Beatles, and this is a technique that came out in the 60s. And he wanted world peace. He wanted people to all live their full potential and be happy. And bliss consciousness was his big motto. Like, we have to really, you know, he said, happiness, the purpose of life is the expansion of happiness. And when we're stressed and strained, you lose your bliss, you lose your happiness. And this can take you to another level. But to a long answer to your question, yes, some people are naturally blissful, naturally happy. They are born with some higher level of awareness, and others need more tools to really get to that state.
When you speak of people that are able to tap into these higher levels of state of bliss consciousness, and what do you feel is, as they are walking the earth kind of in this state, what do you feel is their responsibility?
I mean, some of them I think are very innocent. I don't know if they really know about what, you know, that they're different than other people. I mean, some of them may go and do things, you know, philanthropy, where, you know, they're helping people, they have causes, right? And often, because they are already happy and balanced and they're not suffering, because when we're suffering, we have to be more selfish. We have to take care of ourselves. If we're really balanced, we have more to offer and to give to other people. So I would imagine that those people may already be naturally gravitating towards giving and helping other people that are less fortunate than they are.
I love it. And I always say it's like the more you can tap into just being yourself, you know, the more that you actually don't need to do anything. And because if you give that level of energy just by being who you really are, not worrying too much and allowing yourself to be in a state of excitement and awareness and happiness, then naturally the world around you will already you're already doing your part. So you're not actually, your responsibility is just to be.
Exactly.
You know, which is fascinating. And so I'd love to ask you a little bit deeper about, you know, Ayurveda. You know, people mm-hmm. have said to me, Eric, like your Pitta Vata Kapha, I don't even know, like so I'd love to know a little bit about the three, right?
Just sure, to like sure.
really get curious about it and just to share this beautiful, because I think it's super important, especially to take care of the body and like really bring this wealth out.
Wonderful. And I want to start with something. I'll go through the Vata Pitta Kapha, but I want to say something that, you know, as I look around and I meet a lot of people and I do consultations for wellness and teach them meditation, all of that, it really saddens me the level of mental and emotional. I mean, the physical is one thing, but the mental and emotional, you know, health issues lead to physical imbalances. Absolutely. And then this labeling, right? ADHD or bipolar or all this. Now, I realize they have to, you know, diagnose it and they have to come to it, but ADHD is actually stress induced. And so that is showing the trajectory of our world that it wasn't as prevalent decades ago, right? And now it's all of a sudden like it's an epidemic. Now everybody, I wasn't diagnosed, now I'm diagnosed. And it gives you a really negative label. And what I like about Ayurveda is that when we talk about everyone's uniqueness, and I write this in my book, I'll go through the Vata Pitta Kapha and how that is at home or in the workplace so that people can, like, I just make fun of myself with maybe one of these bodily humors, you know, about how I am. But I look at my strengths, you know, I built up a lot of confidence in myself not to beat myself up by, you know, having maybe sort of some flaws in how I do things compared to maybe other people, because I'm more creative. I'm orderly, but I'm not as orderly as like somebody else, right? So Vata Pitta Kapha, these are three bodily humors or doshas. And most people are made up of all three, but one may be more dominant. You might have two that are, you know, kind of like neck to neck in terms of a tie, you know, that they're sort of about the same level in your physiology. And the Vata dosha, they are typically very thin and they are fast talkers. Now, this is, again, you could have part of this, but this is like this, the pure, what we call Vata type. When they're very balanced, they are, you know, enthusiastic and they love people. They're real socialites and they're talking all the time. Now in an office setting, an employer might be like, oh, whoa, you know, like that. And you never find them at their desk because they're just more creative and they want to be around people. They don't want to sit and focus on something. So it's almost like you think, oh, it's a nightmare. But if they're in sales, it's good because then they like to talk to people. And then, of course, the Pitta types are more your type A's. They're very strict. They're very focused. They want everybody working hard in the office, right? And they might look at the Vata like, oh, my gosh, well, that person just stopped talking and go back to their desk and you know, do something. But the collaboration could be with a Vata and Pitta is that the Vata is very creative because they're not so intensely focused at their desk. And they're getting up, moving around, talking, and letting the mind be fluid, they can actually have more creative ideas. That this Pitta person who's so type A, and they're so sort of strict, and everybody should be doing it their way, and kind of egotistical sometimes in the negative way, then they, you know, will be very focused. So they could take the creative idea from the Vata and they have that focus to implement it. So there's where the collaboration comes in. Then you have, you know, the Kapha dosha, which is more calm, steady, slow, very, brain moves very slowly, which drives the pittas absolutely crazy, you know, but they're good because they have stamina. Because the Vata and Pitta, they're going to burn out because the Pitta is working too hard and the Vata is just also, you know, floating around and expending too much energy. But the Kapha retains energy, doesn't talk a lot, doesn't work hard, but they, you know, slow and steady wins the race. When everybody peters out, they're going to be the ones, because they can also, if they have some Pitta, have a sharp mind, and then they're going to, you know, have stamina. So there's these three bodily humors that we all have a combination of, and it helps us when we know what we are and can see what are our imbalances. And then you eat according to that, you exercise according to that, and just many different lifestyle choices that you can make to enhance whatever doshas you have predominant, or, you know, if you need less of one dosha, well, there's ways to increase that. So that's kind of just a little bit of an overview.
I love it. And how do you define, how do you find out, like, if somebody comes to you and say, hey, Lorena, I want to know what I am, like, you know, let's
yes,
do what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. There's a test. Yeah, there's a test that you take. You can also do pulse diagnosis. And that right here in the radial pulse, you know, you can put your three fingers and you can feel it. You know, I would know by putting my fingers on their pulse, because that would indicate the Vata, Pitta, Kapha. But I do a lot online, you know, a Zoom, because I lecture and basically consult with people around the world. So I'll have them fill out a questionnaire. And it's very easy for me to see, and for them too, what they are predominantly. And even by what I just told you, you can sort of figure out, oh, I'm Pitta or Vata, or sometimes Kapha, or, you know, you can kind of figure out. And then, it, you know, it goes according to the body type as well. And then certain health issues are more prevalent for Vata, Pitta, Kapha as well. So we have to watch that, and it's constantly balanced. I tell people in my book, pay now or pay later, because unfortunately, a lot of people come to me when they're already really out of balance, because they're so busy, they have no time to take care of themselves until they have to quit their job because they're so sick. And that really saddens me. So I really am a cheerleader for, like, getting out there and telling people, you know, your health is of utmost importance and it can change in a moment. And we have to really be mindful of, you know, are we low in D3? Are we, you know, B12, or how are our vitamins? And, you know, I don't, you know, promote totally modern medicine, but we should go to the doctor and definitely see what's going on, because we have some good tests that can see where we're going, you know, in terms of our physiology. And that can help us as well, because if you're low in D3, you're going to get sick more often. That's like the biggest, that's really my pet peeve lately, is because so many people will go to the doctor will tell them they're low in D3. And I'll say, oh, so did you start taking it? Oh, no. And how long ago was that appointment? Oh, about a year ago. And that D3 is, if you don't have, you know, good levels of D3, you're going to get sick, and they don't take it seriously. And that's why I'm there to guide them. So, like, I really go through all of their testing and their blood work, and I see, okay, because, you know, they just are not paying attention because they're so overwhelmed.
So I think that you mentioned something with all of this that really is, it ties all of it together, right? They're not paying attention, right? They're not focused. They're not bringing the energy to themselves. And at the beginning, you shared mental and emotional intelligence, and that health, how it's like a really defining component to bringing your mindlessness, I call it, you know, to your body. Because I feel that we've been, for myself speaking, I've been conditioned growing up that everything is from the external, not inside. And so this was a very fascinating challenge that I had because I didn't believe that, but that's what I was told. And so I needed to go through the experience to understand. And it was in this mental and emotional intelligence. You brought up bipolar, right? And people judged my sister, my older sister, and diagnosed her as bipolar. And I grew up knowing that this woman was absolutely loving, you know, connected. And yes, but we all have these different of characteristics. In fact, in the Kabbalion, Hermes, he talks about the principle of polarity. And so we all have this principle inside of us. So to say that somebody is just bipolar, I think is really ignorant in my perspective. I think it's like we all have these personal realities, these personalities that we actually can see as a result of our mirrors, the ones that are in front of us all the time. And if we are absolutely curious about our own emotional intelligence, our own mental framework, then we can identify the mirror in front of us, the individuals, the teachers, I believe everybody is an amazing teacher, by the way. So as a result, we can start to comprehend our body's unlimited potential, which is where you get to start to balance these three philosophies of Pitta, Kapha, and I'm sorry, I forget the last one.
Yeah, but nonetheless, that's it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So these three mastery levels of bringing them together, like you said, I think that it comes down to, and correct me if I'm wrong, to the mental and emotional way of the way that you are really bringing the transcendental, perhaps meditation, the way that you're bringing, you know, your mindlessness, allowing yourself to expand, bringing this really emotional curiosity to trusting in your feelings.
Right. And I think that's the thing is that, you know, I'm not saying that, you know, somebody diagnosed with that doesn't really have some issue that they want to be addressed. But it really does start in the gut. All mental issues start in the gut. And food is medicine. So when we look at even, you know, any of these, you know, ADD or, you know, ADHD, bipolar, all things like that, when they change their diet, when they start transcendental meditation, there is a shift. And it's hard to stay, like some people can just eat whatever they want and they're fine for a while. And that's great for them, you know, but if you're not that type and you have to work on it, it's actually going to benefit you because as you age, you've already developed this great lifestyle. You're going to have less issues. That person that's, you know, eating what they want and doing what they want mentally and not, you know, being mindful, they're going to, you know, have more disease later on. So we've had like Dr. Rosenthal wrote this great book called Transcendence, Healing and Transformation Through the TM Technique. And he had this young man who had bipolar disorder that was going to him, you know, as a psychiatrist. And he had to be on some medications that Dr. Rosenthal was monitoring. And Dr. Rosenthal is really not just totally modern medicine. He's into homeopathy and other things. And he really likes more natural methods. So that's great that a doctor is willing to blend the two. And this young man walks in the office one day and says, "Oh, doc, you know, I just started transcendental meditation and I feel amazing. It's making me so happy," because they often suffer from depression. And suddenly the happiness starts to emerge. And he says, "You know, your medications are fine, but like nothing's worked like this." And he said, and then he was, you know, saying, "You have to try transcendental meditation." And he was like really encouraging him to do it, which he did. And that's when he ended up writing the book, because now he's recommending TM to all his patients. But just that one thing can really make a difference. And then you go into diet and all of that. And I mean, I've had people with, you know, bipolar depression, severe anxiety, lack of confidence, and just so many negative rhetoric in their mind about how they feel, you know, very low self-esteem. I think TM really, because I started when I was 22. So I think I really have that, you know, higher self-esteem, I believe, because of the TM. It got rid of any that, you know, negative rhetoric in my mind about any of that. And so I think that's the thing, is that you treat the mind first And then it even helps the microbiome, the transcendental meditation technique. But then it would be good to also have a proper diet, because sugar is the culprit in a lot of other mental, you know, especially depression. People that are depressed, they probably, you know, not all, but they eat a lot of sugar. And that, you know, or maybe fatty foods or things that are heavy and clogging to the channels and disrupt the microbiome. So, you know, there's so much one can do. And I really throw everything at it. In Ayurveda, it's like a multimodality approach to really healing mind, body, and spirit and emotions.
I love it. I love it. I think it's absolutely, and first of all, like, I think, you know, doing it for 25 years and creating the mastery of self, and then, you know, contributing that energy to what you're doing is absolutely, it's so beautiful and so important. And I really believe it's taking a new step forward too now. I think that the more, you know, I don't know when you started, if it was as big or more of an awareness to it, you know, I'm not aware of that, but I am aware that now through my own journey, I'm seeing the importance of it and the applications to really bringing this philosophy into like greater organizations, because like you said, right, millennials, my generation, like we are not wanting to be in a place that is disempowering. In fact, we refuse to be. And I think that now is, as you know, we're like, what is happening in society and its expectations, you know, we're really laying a new foundation for what we want to bring to our future generations, for our children, so that they're living their life full of dreams, so that we're leaving behind this world better than we found it. And I know that, you know, for me, this is an absolute mission. For me, this is like a number one priority, because if we collectively take more responsibility of our current societal expectations, perhaps we can start appreciating each other a little bit more. Perhaps we can, you know, leave this beautiful home that we have a little bit better than when we found it. And I think that when we do that in a collective manner, inside of organizations, inside of different industries, inside of different verticals across businesses, then we are, you know, leaving, we're living in the highest principles of integrity and alignment, because once we're serving that highest realm, we become masters of the physical.
No, absolutely. And, you know, back to where, you know, transcendental meditation started. So it was very popular in the 60s. So the Beatles learned this technique. And, you know, what people don't really realize, you know, because most of us were very young at the time, or maybe not even born, is that he was on the Merv Griffin Show, and Burt Reynolds, Clint Eastwood, people, you know, Joe Namath, people that are in their 80s. Joe Namath used transcendental meditation to take his team to the Super Bowl. And the funny thing about that is they were the rookie team that year, and they only played in like this lottery thing. So they thought, oh, they're the worst team in the world. They're going to just come in and then they're, you know, they're not really Super Bowl material yet. You know, they just did as a lottery. They didn't get into the Super Bowl, but they did by this lottery, and they won the Super Bowl. So it's the power of the mind that they had talent, but they might've been nervous, or, you know, young team. And then they just won, and it was like a big upset. So, you know, transcendental meditation has really, it's been around a long time. But then I think once we, you know, 60s and 70s, it was very popular. We had lots of people learning. And then, you know, 80s and 90s, people sort of weren't really taking care of their health as much, right? Or not into like meditation. And then it just, when the business world really got into TM and started coming out and talking about it, and then Oprah and Ellen and all these very influential people, and Ray Dalio, Tim Ferriss, I mean, you know, I could go on and on, you know, even Jerry Seinfeld. And so when they all started to come out now, and what's great about that, I don't know how much you know about this, but Paul McCartney, Ringo Starr, and John, you know, Jerry Seinfeld, many of the great stars, they are basically doing concerts and events where we can raise money for war veterans and women that have been the victims of abuse or violence, because TM is really good for post-traumatic stress. So we find that within 8 weeks of meditating, PTSD symptoms get reduced by 50%. I've taught a lot of police officers and first responders, and you know, they're finding relief from that. So that's another area that we go into, which is so beautiful because, you know, some people have really tough jobs. We can't even imagine, you know, what they go through to try to protect us, or, you know, even doctors and nurses, you know, in the ER. And it's just unbelievable what they go through. And they, you know, sometimes they're doing like a 13 to 24 hour shift. And it really takes a toll, you know, on the mind and body. And what they see, all this trauma around them does affect them. So TM is very good for trauma and PTSD. And so and that's a great thing, is that it is a sliding scale based. And if people really can't afford it, we usually have funding that they could learn it. So that's what I love as well, that it's not, you know, while people will pay for it if they can't afford it, if they really, really can't afford it and they're sincere to meditate twice a day, we will find a way to make them, you know, able to learn.
I love it. How can more people find out about you, about your book? Tell us, you know, where they can reach out to you.
Sure.
So that people can access your wisdom, your mission, and your abilities, because I think it's super important.
Yeah, so my book is Perfect Health for Busy People. It's a Maharishi Ayurveda guide to living a longer and happier life. And I go all into transcendental meditation and so many other modalities to help your health. And my website is www.wellnesswithlaurina.com, and that's Laurina. So they could go there. And then if people want to learn anywhere in the world, at least in the United States, it's tm.org. So for the meditation, if you're in the Chicago area, you can just go to my website, but it's tm.org to learn more about transcendental meditation.
Amazing. So I'll make sure that that's all in the show notes for anybody that's, you know, looking for the links later. And so I'm curious to know, as you continue growing, as you continue serving, what's kind of next for you? Do you have like a vision that you see for the next 1 year,
so,
5 years?
So my big vision, and it's not going to be an easy feat, is I want to have, and we have some already, natural health centers. And we have a lot of already. We have like what they call Maharishi Ayurveda clinics. We have one in Fairfield, Iowa. We have one in Germany. I forget what the city. So we have these clinics, but they perform these detoxifications. You can learn to meditate. They do yoga, all of the great things. But what I'd like to do is to really have huge wellness centers where people can come. And so again, it would be the principle, if you have the money, you pay. And if you don't have the money, you don't have to pay. Because the problem with our healthcare system is that it's very expensive to have natural approaches to health, right? If you want to go for a detox or go somewhere, it's very expensive. If you want to go to a functional medicine doctor, you know, it costs you thousands of dollars. So somewhere you can go, and there has to be a way to scale back and not make it doesn't have to be that expensive, in my opinion. And they go to this center, which would be really big, and maybe even able to stay overnight. And they would basically be, if say they're very anxious, they're depressed, and modern medicine is not helping them, they've tried other modalities of things that, you know, they're not helping, and they can go there and have still doctors there, but doctors who are more holistic oversee them, but they can maybe stay a couple of days, you know, if they need to. Maybe they can do a 1 week detox and they can learn transcendental meditation. They'll do yoga and all of that. And this way they can really heal in a more natural way. But if they needed modern medicine, that would be available. It's almost like a collaboration with a hospital. So having some type of a hospital facility there, if it's, you know, more dire and they need some medical attention. But if it's just really, you know, they're anxious, they're depressed, they're just not feeling well, they need to reboot, that they have somewhere to go where it doesn't have to cost them anything, that it could be more, you know, holistic, like everything we've talked about today.
What do you need to make, like, to make the vision a reality? I'm curious.
Probably funding. Mm-hmm. Funding and a great team of people. My thing is that now I'll be doing an upcoming book tour. I teach TM in businesses. I talk about Ayurveda. So I do a lot of lecturing. So my plate is pretty full with what I can handle, but I would love to be a part of that and help to facilitate that if that can, you know, but it just takes millions of dollars. It takes a great team of people equally committed. The team, I would easily have people available, but just a great team. And we start one, in one city. And we can start one, and then we build from there. We could almost also partner with a hospital if we want. Maybe like if there's an existing hospital that wants to partner with us, and then we build a wing, or maybe they have extra space. I don't know. But that to me, that everybody should get that care, because healthcare is so expensive, and I think it's unnecessary. I think it's disingenuous how it is, you know, basically the pharmaceutical companies and the whole thing. I just think it's not good. I don't see that really going to be helpful for people if they want to heal, truly, truly heal.
Absolutely. I think, you know, we should like have access to be able to be as healthy as possible. It should be our birthright. You know
absolutely.
What I mean?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Care of each other in a capacity. Yeah. And if it's like now I can't take care of you and your health because you don't have the money, that is, I think it's a very egocentric fallacy that has been manipulated for far too long. And I feel that that's something that needs to shift, because human connection, human energy, the one inside of us, the energy inside is the most precious wealth and abundant thing that we all have. And if we start seeing that in the mirrors of one another, we can start actually showing up in that capacity. So I'm really excited to stay connected with you. I definitely have some friends that are in the same type of industry that I'd love to maybe connect you guys together and see what's possible to make, you know, all of our dreams a reality, because it's really about coming together and bringing more common unity so that we can cultivate, you know, and drive real change, because we can only do this together. It's not, you know, anybody against anyone. If we start seeing that, hey, we can bring this magic together, we really can drive and reform it. And it's from coming from a real place of abundance then.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So I want to ask you last question before we go. If you had 3 days left to live, what would you do?
I would go into deep meditation. I would, be with family and friends and just, you know, go inward. And I think if we're getting deep here, I think death is just another journey. I would hope I wouldn't feel, I think the TM has helped me not to be fearful. And I hear the transition is beautiful from some who have gone over and come back. So I would just want to be in nature, be around family and loved ones. And probably that's what I would do. Meditate.
Beautiful. Thank you again for this beautiful time with you. Do you have anything that you want to share? Any last comments, words?
Well, just thank you so much for having me. And I'm really passionate about bringing my message to the world. Nobody should suffer mentally, physically, or emotionally. And so if you are, definitely look me up and I can help you because that's really what I want to do. It's Transcendental meditation, Ayurveda have transformed my life. All the tools that I have helped to keep me balanced and happy. And I just want that for the whole world.
I appreciate you and your wisdom. And don't go anywhere. We'll talk soon.
Hey, everyone. And thank you so much for listening to the Resilient Minds. I hope you enjoyed the show. please make sure to go comment and like and follow us on iTunes or Spotify. And make sure, please make sure that if you really love this, to share this episode and make sure that you're inviting all your friends to like it as we continue to unfold what the beauty of our minds does. More importantly, how powerful our heart level of intelligence can be when we combine our heart and our brain together. And more importantly, check out the alignment course that I've created. It's seriously there for you to take advantage of at www.ericbalance.com/alignment. See you on the next show.